my first questions is, what is the main goal or the primary goal of Run Forever within as a rehabilitation program?
Well, actually, I think is bringing practices like running and, in my case, also Feldenkrais as practices of care in prison, and showing, you know, probably a path for rehabilitation, which can be rethought and taught differently. So I think basically is that. I'm personally a passionate runner, and it's quite a long time that I run, and I always felt that running has something magic, and as it is for myself, for many, many other people, and they can be easily transformed. They can be, you know, kind of very normal persons in everyday life, and then when they start running, they become incredible human beings, and I think there's a potential in that thing. And as you know, when I started already more than 10 years ago in Italy first, I always had this sense, this transformational potential that running can have, and in my case also through the filter of the Feldenkrais method, of which I'm a teacher.
And I also think, like as you said, it's something magical. I personally feel like it's how you feel after a run. Like you can achieve a lot more, I find, because for example, if you play football, the end goal is to win the match, like to get as many goals in or more goals in than your opponent. I think when running, at first it is like you are by yourself, and then you can tell yourself, okay, I'll run 10 kilometers today. But then after running the 10 kilometers, you're like, I can keep on going. It's that like power. I get that power feeling that comes out when you go for a run, and you know you can achieve a lot more than expected.
Exactly. I think yes. In the sense that it's really no one can take out what you get from running.
Yeah.
So and this is something that I immediately experienced. So I came to running when I was already in my late 30s, and I have always been practicing different other sports, also at kind of a high level. And although I enjoyed very much when I was much younger to practice different other sports, I always suffered, in a sense, a little bit too much the sense of competition that you have inside those contexts. And when I came to running, I don't know, I really felt a different world. I felt myself differently. So although I also started participating in different races, the atmosphere was different. I'm not saying that there was no competition, but the way competition was experienced was very different. And especially then when you come to long distances, marathon running and all this stuff, then there, you know, the finish line or your personal best, the time you can have in that race is important, but starts to be much, much less important. So it's like the finish line is so far away that what happens in between becomes really the most important thing.
Yeah, it's that like mental push, I think, when it comes in between, like from start to finish. I think the good thing about running, in my opinion, is that everyone's a winner because everyone's going to cross the finish line.
You know that in a marathon, when you come to the finish line, then you get a t-shirt, and generally in many marathons you have a word written on the back of the t-shirt, which is finisher.
Exactly. And you finished it. You've managed,
and everyone is a finisher. Yeah.
And do you think Run Forever has helped these people taking part in prisoners with their social skills, because it is a running group? And I feel like within a running group, it's good to have communication and talk to other people. And has it like positively impacted their social skills in their prison environment?
I hope so, and I also think so. In a sense. So as you probably have seen from what we try to do, is bringing running, and especially in the form of marathon running, inside prisons, and more generally in our lives. And marathon running is exactly going beyond the idea of the race and of competition. It's more a kind of ritual. So it's the participation into something that it's not just an individual performance. It's more a kind of choral activity. You probably can be also unconscious, but actually you participate in something that goes beyond the individual. And of course, this affects your social skills in a sense, or even, you know, rather than describing, you know, in terms of skills, I would like to say more in the pleasure of being with other people, of feeling, you know, well, it's almost 20 years that I run marathons, and when you start 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, 15, 20, 25, and you know, at the beginning you have to find your rhythm, your pace, and then you come more or less in 25, 30 kilometers, then there you started to be with you know, a group of people, 5, 10 people, and actually there's no competition at all at that point. It's like you want that all the people that you have around can come to the finish line together, because actually you start to feel that your body is not just your body. It's the body of those 10 people, I don't know how many. And actually you belong to them, they belong to you. So if they start to feel tired, you encourage them. So you don't want them to start to feel too tired, because actually this affects yourself. And also you try to push yourself because you don't want to slow down the others. And it's you really become together, you become part of something that is not just yourself. And this, you know, works at a very kind of very deep level in ourselves. I think there are, you know, great runners who are able to articulate also with words. They write books, poems, write songs. They are incredible people. And there are also very more normal people who are not able maybe to articulate in words, but actually they all experience that. And I think one of the reasons why marathons especially now have become so fashion, it's not just because of the fashion of you know, the some economical you know, interests in people making marathons, but also because there's something deeper, or at least it's not the only reason, but I think it's kind of important reason for participating into marathons. Is, you know, you are touching onto a different potentiality of existential potentialities, probably.
And also, like you said, the last, when you hit kilometer 30 during a marathon, and then you're running with these 5 or 10 people, that you guys are a community then, that you support each other, you don't want one to fail. And have you noticed that with Run Forever? With
No, that's exactly, you know, we didn't come to actually organize a full marathon yet.
Yeah.
hopefully it will happen.
Yeah.
But we organized, you know, different distances. So we started with a group of people who, you know, we are just starting running. So we did, you know, the couch to 5K. So we started very slowly from walking, running, mixing the two, and then coming to do a 5K. And everybody, you know, running for around 30 minutes consecutively, it's already a great achievement. And then progressively, there was actually, you know, I was continuously trying to inspire people to run longer distances. I was, you know, when we go into the prison for the running club, it's not just running. We don't just go out for running. Of course, this is the main thing, but we do also other things. So before running, we are in a room where I show videos generally to inspire people. And I was continuously trying to show people who run marathons at a high level, but also very, very normal people, you know, doing their own marathon at their own pace. And so after having done the first short distances, people started to want, okay, I want to do the 10K, maybe we do a half marathon. So we came last year to do a half marathon, so 21K inside.
And was that in a prison setting?
In the prison setting. Wow. And this is, as you know, pushing, there are many levels, of course. There's a level on the individual that we stay there, because your question is here now. So you're asking why, you know, what happens when you do longer distances within prison, and how this affects prisoners. We could see that you know, there were people finishing the half marathon and then continue running, helping others to finish the half marathon. So these are, you know, examples. But also I remember in preparation of the half marathon, and this is kind of interesting, we were following a plan for a training plan for the half marathon. So every week we had a different workout, and during the week they had to do different other workouts. The thing is that then, of course, when you overcome the 10K, then people started to feel, especially, you know, in a prison environment where they don't have actually so much time to dedicate to running, although maybe they want to, but they are very limited. So the thing is that they started to be scared. Oh, this is the first time I do such a long distance. So we moved from 5K, then we did a 10K, but 21K starts to be something. How do I do that? And what they did is actually to organize themselves in small groups of people, of prisoners, of runners, to run the half marathon together. So they tried to match the pace. So they selected each other in the sense that, okay, more or less you run at my pace. Maybe we can run three or four of us together. So they did the workouts in preparation of the marathon together. And then they ran also the marathon, the half marathon, together. Yeah. Which is, you know, a kind of you were talking about social skills before, and, you know, this, you know, it's interesting, I think. You know.
They I guess for them, it's like teamwork. Like you said, they want to support each other, and they know the four of us, if we train and prepare for this half marathon, we know that when we do it together, we can support each other. And if one of them is like a bit behind, then they'll just start to push them up. So I guess. Is the interaction and the communication skills that are being worked on.
Also, you recognize, you know, when you are four or five people, say more or less you have the same pace, but it's more or less, there might be one or two people running a little bit faster and maybe a couple of people running slower. But actually, what is then becomes important when you start going, you know, in long, looking at longer distances, is actually you need each other. Because sometimes when you go faster, it's nice to see, to know that there's someone behind you that actually is going a little bit slower, because this gives you a little bit of strength psychologically. Yeah. It gives you, you know, the sense that, okay, I can go faster. But if you are alone yourself, then it's much more scary.
More of a challenge then. And do you think, have you seen any changes in like the physical well-being of prisoners who have taken part in a running program, or like their mental health, their sleeping patterns? Have you seen any changes?
Yeah, you know, all of I've seen all of the things that you just mentioned. So for sure, on the level of the mental health, people were, you know, I remember, you know, just from Run Forever, we are trying to learn to give a value to the things we do through stories, through anecdotes. And I have so many stories, because when I go there, actually, I run with people. I like running, so I run with them. I'm not there just to open the space and
You're part of that community as well to support.
Absolutely. So and I remember once I was... this guy came for the first time to the running club, a kind of a younger guy, quite fit. And we started running, and, you know, I told him what we were going to do and what was our goal in the future. And then he came to HMP Grampian for the first, you know, a few days before. So it was before in Glasgow. And when he came, he said, well, it's the first time that I can finally run after, you know, so much time. And actually, and you could see, it's difficult to describe, you could see from his body how he started actually to flourish, you know, just being outside with air and, you know, with other people, a little bit playing like children, sometimes challenging you, you're faster, you're slower, all this stuff. But then after, you know, half an hour we were running, he came back to me and he said, you know what I'm going to do later? I said, no, I'm curious, what are you going to do? And he said, well, I'm going to call, to give a phone call to my dad. And said, okay, what's new with that? And he said, well, it's the first time after 2 years that I'm going to call my dad. Because I feel so better. I feel that there's something that finally I feel that I can become a better human being or something like this. You know, this affects the overall sense of yourself.
And also, I guess, like with the happy hormones that get released when going for a run, he must have been like, my emotions are at bay. I'm able to have a conversation with my dad after 2 years, which is not easy. So that is, do you know how that talk went, that phone call? Or?
Yes, I met that guy then later. Oh, wow. And, he said that it was a kind of nice conversation. Mm. And there are many levels probably to talk about that conversation, because you can imagine this was a young guy. I don't know how he felt in relationship to his dad, that probably he expected him to be in prison, but then, of course, to rehabilitate and come out from prison very, very differently, you know, very different. So probably for the few words that I exchanged with this guy, probably there's a high expectation from his dad. And, you know, if it's your father, then it's a archetypical figure in your life. It's kind of strong. Mm-hmm. So be able to stand on your feet and call your dad and tell him, look, I really feel the possibility of being better. Well, it's kind of an important statement and important step in your life, I think.
I guess, like, going from that, like, you're in a rehabilitation program and you're building up the relationships with your family from running because you feel like you are ready and like emotionally okay to contact your family again. Would you say the running rehabilitation program has an impact on reintegration into society once released from prison?
Well, that's again a hope because as we know, when that there's such a high rate of reoffending, you know, people come out from prison and they are stigmatized. It's very difficult when you are out back into society to feel that you can really be welcomed again and fully reintegrated. So the thing of running can help. I hope it can help. And it stays as a possibility of meeting with others, other human being, in a different context, in a different dimension. So what we have already tried to do and we continue trying to do is actually offering activities that happen inside, but at the same time can be continued outside. So building a kind of bridge between inside and outside, and the running club can be that bridge in a sense. Mm-hmm. So you have you belong to a running club inside the prison. When you come out, Run Forever offers you the possibility of continuing your experience outside. You belong still to the same running club that gives you the possibility of getting in touch with other running clubs in the area. So that running can become a space where you can breathe. Possibility of being with others without your past, in a sense, or
with no stigmatization. You're just a runner in that club. You're just a runner. You show up.
Yeah. We are all runners, in a sense.
Exactly. And I guess also building that bridge gives the people, like the prisoners, the confidence, because they've been already in a running group within the prison setting. and having that bridge to like, I am still a runner. So it doesn't matter. The wall doesn't matter. I can still.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And in a sense, it's also a way of, an identity, mm-hmm. which doesn't need, a record that doesn't ask, being a runner, doesn't ask you what you were before. Mm-hmm. You can become a runner. And this is a kind of inspiration. That's why I continuously, not just run for sure is the main part, because itself, the practice itself is so powerful, but mm-hmm. also bringing some kind of inspiration, because if you see Kipchoge or great runners are great human beings at the same time, mm-hmm. and knowing what they do, how they live, and it is not, it's even, we try actually to be careful in not overemphasizing values that seems to be the same as the one, for example, of sacrifice, which mm-hmm. seems to be kind of related to running long distances and marathons. But actually, the same practice, the same dedication that you can have, cannot be just a very hard sacrifice, but it's just, finding a space where you can really become better and feeling that you are celebrating life through yourself, through the practice you do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I also think when being released from prison, many people don't have like a financial safety net. They need to build up their life again, being released from prison, and running, if they were in a running community within prison, outside of prison, it's a cheap sport. Running is a cheap sport. Like, they don't need a lot to join a running club. And I think that will also give them more security, knowing they don't need to buy like the most expensive football gear if it was a football club. But for running, they actually just need to show up and enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also, in a sense, something that running has, it's very easy. You can mm-hmm. run at any time, that you don't need anything. You can go just yourself, or asking a friend to go with them, or mm-hmm. Taking part to a running club. It's always there. It's a kind of very basic activity that I think, what is also nice, and I'm recently thinking about that, it's not just a sport. It's not just a sport. So deep into our evolutionary history as well, our bodies seem to be to have developed in through evolutionary times, for being in Africa in the savannas and running, mm-hmm. In little groups of people chasing prey, and this probably has a memory in our DNA, in our bodies, and that's why sometimes it triggers whenever as soon as you start, you have endorphins everywhere in mm-hmm. your body. And this, of course, gives you this kind of this sense of high, which is mm-hmm. so nice to experience.
And then, so you're talking about the high that people feel after a run. Would you say the mood within the prison setting after a run is a lot calmer? Or have you noticed a change in the mood within the prison setting after, like...
Well, that's another, I'll tell you another story about this. We were together with other runners and prisoners, mm-hmm. asking ourselves, how do you evaluate a run? How do you feel after a run? How do you say if it was a good or not good run? And, there were many, many things. And one prisoner said something like, I consider this run a good run if I feel more patient with other people. Yeah. When I go back to my cell, mm-hmm. my hole, and I feel that I can actually be with others and being much more patient. That's an insight that I also never thought. And if I bring it to my personal life, mm-hmm. It's absolutely true, especially when I do a longer distance and I come home, it's much easier to, you know, to be with my children that sometimes are
<They're> more relaxed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well. Oh, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. And see, for what kind of challenges did you face building Run Forever? Like, were there any barriers you had to face or challenges you had to overcome?
Well, yeah, well, you know, if you want to work in a prison environment, of course, you have to organize yourself a little bit. So when I started, when I was in Italy, it was just myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I like running. I do other things that are more, you know, kind of creative, artistic things. So, but how can I just go there, which is the door that I have to knock, you know, to get into the prison? This is, you know, it's very difficult. When I had that idea, it was, I don't know, 2009 or something, and mm-hmm. it took 3 or 4 years to be able to find a way to get through those mm-hmm. gates in Italy. And it happened because I met and I became a very good friend of a director of an NGO in Italy working in prison environment, and she allowed me to offer a training program based on running. And that's how I started. The same difficulty I had when I came here. So I dedicated a first running club in 2016 at HMPG, and I got there through Families Outside, which is a very good NGO here in Scotland. And thanks to them, I could get through the walls, let's say.
Right.
And now, more recently, we founded Run Forever, which is actually a charity, has become a charity recently. And it's, of course, it is organized through trustees, but actually the way I think to Run Forever is basically good, very good friends around myself supporting my work. But actually, these are the difficulties that you face, in the sense, the first difficulties. And it seems to be obvious, but actually Run Forever also try to be constantly aware of what we do, even also at the formal level. Mm-hmm. So becoming a charity, becoming a sort of institution, because otherwise with the institution of the prison, you are not recognized. As an individual, you are almost invisible. You cannot knock at the door of the governor in the prison and say, mm-hmm. okay, I'm a good runner. I think that running could be impactful on the people here in prison. Can I do mm-hmm. something? Yeah, well, it's not that easy. So you have a little bit, you know, this is the first thing. So you need to find a kind of social identity. And then of course, you bring something that needs to meet, in a sense, the timeframes of the institution itself. So as we know, prisons at the moment are overwhelmed by all the work that they have to do inside. So prison staff are really overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And it's also difficult, though you're offering something, because you are not asking for money.
Yeah.
You need to find your money. So this is another part, of course. You have to self-support your work. That's why you need to become a charity, probably, and apply for funding application, all this stuff. And when you have money, then you go there, and of course you have to find a way to organize the time with the time of the prison staff, which, you know, it's kind of important. So when it's possible to get out and someone maybe needs to open doors, very mm-hmm. pragmatical things. So you need to establish a very good relationships with the prison staff. And for us, we are there, I think. Especially more recently, with the collaboration we are having in the prison, through especially the recovery and health and well-being team, we are really in a very good position of having very good collaborations with prison staff. And this is, I think, is really crucial mm-hmm. for because, you know, in particular for Run Forever, we are using running and Feldenkrais as practices also for trying to suggest, in a sense, systemic change and kind of cultural shift within the prison. Mm-hmm. So if you don't share these ideas which are actually not even so clear into our minds. With the people you are working with, especially prison staff, then there's you know, you're just delivering a project. Mm-hmm. And well, it's important. I'm not saying it's not important, but actually the ambition, in a sense, is to instigate a kind of a different way of doing things, which maybe is not yet clearly known, but it needs the openness by everyone to try to walk that path together,
mm-hmm.
and understand how the future could be if we wanted to rethink mm-hmm. rehabilitation and not using that word, but actually continuously meaning punishment, because mm-hmm. that's the thing. You know, rehabilitation is confused, still very much confused with punishment.
Mm-hmm. And you want to be taken serious, like you said. Like, you can't just knock on a door and be like, I want to do this. Like, you have to have that for yourself first. You need to have a ground to be able to stand on, and then to give your, like, you, how you want to change or and rehabilitate within the prison setting, and actually have an influence on the people taking part.
Yeah. Well, you know, just if I can, I can add maybe a few comments which mm-hmm. are related to what we were talking about before, Jasmine. We were talking about running and short distances, longer distances. And we mentioned how in longer distances you started to lose the finish line because it's too far away. And yeah. If you compare this idea with rehabilitation mm-hmm. is generally offered to prisoners as a kind of program with a very clear finish line. So mm-hmm. you need to be measured and you need to achieve results as in a kind of short distance race, you need to achieve your personal best. And this mm-hmm. put a lot of pressure on people in prison, because they are continuously, and you have to think that, you know, this kind of people, prisoners, are generally people who have lived all their lives in a position where they struggled to achieve results. So you're using exactly the same logic also in offering them programs of rehabilitations. It's like a 5K or a 10K. Instead, mm-hmm. If we start to lose the finish line, as in a marathon, so a program of rehabilitations should be no finish line. Mm-hmm. So should be focused on the journey, which is a kind of a new age, motto in a sense. And although it's really true. So if you're able to focus on the journey, focus on each step you're taking while you're doing a marathon, then you can really open the door for transformation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're focusing on the goal, on the result, on the personal best, then maybe you get it. But I'm not sure that this affects really deeply, existentially, mm-hmm. the life of people.
Yeah, it's probably more prone to disappointment in that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, well. Well, that was great. Thank you very much. Would you like to add anything else, Paolo? Or
no, I'm just thanking you, Jasmine, for actually taking us as an example for your criminology studies. And I don't know if, well, I might want to ask you why you are interested in us then.
Because I think you're one of the most open, like, running program within a Scottish prison. And I think the work you guys do, like, you don't hide anything. You've got, like, the podcasts online, which I think is very interesting. You can tell that you are very passionate about what you're doing and the people you want to support. And I think that is very, it's nice to hear people talk positively about rehabilitation within a prison setting.
Yeah.
And how running can influence that. And I mean, I am a runner myself, so I thought, try and bring these two together and see where it goes.
So thank you very much, actually.